Good morning, Connecticut. And to our friends across the sound, it's Director of Public Affairs, John Voquette. Thanks for tuning in to our award-winning public affairs program, For the People, bringing you the latest information to help address concerns in our communities tied to youth, the economy, public health and safety, aging, education, and the environment. Well, the entire city of New Haven is the stage, and all of Connecticut reaps the cultural and economic benefits of the annual International Festival of Arts and Ideas happening June 8th through the 22nd. This festival, one of just a few of its kind in the country, as you will hear from one of our special guests, convenes leading artists, thought leaders, and innovators from around the world for 15 days of dynamic public programs to engage, entertain, and inspire a diversity of communities. More than 300,000 people are involved with or attending one or more festival happenings, and they'll enjoy more than 80% of this year's programs absolutely free, including events that feature some of the most influential jazz, classical, dance, and theater artists of our time. We're also going to preview a bunch of various ticketed festival events, tell you how you can walk, bike, or float through a few festival programs, and we'll tempt your taste buds, chatting up this year's festival food track of talks, tastings, culinary, and cocktail offerings. And finally, we'll welcome several of the festival's more unique presenters so you can hear firsthand about what you'll experience when you pop into their ideas track activities. It's a whole program of great conversation that'll clue you in on everything you need when you come down to New Haven for this year's International Festival of Arts and Ideas. So let's get started.
Well, it's a bittersweet year here in downtown New Haven. Excellent things happening, however. It's been so many years that we've been able to introduce folks and welcome them to the International Festival of Arts and Ideas on the award-winning For the People. And we're here with a dear old friend and giving him a little bit of a gift of a full hour of For the People programming this morning. Chad Herzog, Executive Co-Director of the festival, sadly his last year doing this. And we're excited to meet a brand new friend, Denise Santisteban, who is going to talk with us today about several of the tracks of the festival. The festival convenes leading artists, thought leaders, innovators from around the world for 15 days of public programs to engage, entertain, and inspire a diversity of communities. And the best part is more than 80% of the festival programs are absolutely free to the public, including events that feature some of the most influential jazz, classical, dance, and theater artists of our time. It happens all over downtown New Haven, and one of the main venues itself is the New Haven Green. So, Chad, welcome. Sorry to see you go, but glad to see you this last visit.
It's great to be here. Thanks. Thanks for making the time for us.
So before we get into festival programming, and we should warn folks that we're actually going to be switching off to talk to some of the producers and performers and those doing presenting through the course of the next 45, 50 minutes or so. But as this program plays here near the end of May, some things have already been happening with the International Festival, including some neighborhood festivals, which started a few years ago. Tell us a little bit about how you anticipate those are going here as they're just starting to ramp up.
Well, we're so lucky to have beautiful weather in May, finally. And the first festival was in the Hill. Our Hill Fest festival happened on Saturday, May 18th. Prior to that, we had the big read that kicked off. The city of New Haven is reading the book, The Namesake. Mm. And there are over 50 events happening around that book and reading the book together as one city. And we'll culminate all of those readings for the NEA and the NEA's big read and the city that reads during the festival. After the Hill Fest festival, we had our festival in Fairhaven, and then later on this weekend, we go to the Dixwell neighborhood, and we'll be in Dixwell for our final neighborhood festival, where we partner with the Freddie Fixer Parade.
Now, since these festivals in the neighborhoods have been happening, have you been seeing a greater engagement of folks to the main event programming since they've sort of been introduced to the International Festival right close to home?
I think anytime you have multiple people planning a party, the engagement's going to get bigger. And that's essentially what these festivals do in our neighborhoods, is we invite the communities in our neighborhoods to plan the party with us, and then we celebrate together as one on New Haven Day on the Green on June 8th. And that's where we'll see people from all over the city come together, celebrate the artists that make up this region and the neighborhoods that have been working so hard to make their festivals happen.
Excellent. Let's move on to talk about some of the ticketed events. We're going to meet Florian Carley, who's going to be producing a program called Quantum Sound in a few minutes. And there are so many ticketed events, it's probably wisest for folks to just go to the website artidea.org. Is that right?
That's exactly right. And there are a number of ticketed events. I will tell you that getting tickets for that Quantum Sounds performance, or the performances of Quantum Sounds that happens in June on the first Friday of the festival, June 14th, will be difficult as it's nearly sold out. So stand in line early and hope you can get in. It's a smaller venue at Firehouse 12. Mm. So we're looking forward to doing that. But our ticketed events start off in the Schubert this year. We're all over the city with our ticketed events. We start off in the Schubert with Durant's Dance, which is a dance company coming to us from New York with live music. Think tap dance to the extreme. Michelle Durant's is a MacArthur Award-winning a dancer who has really revolutionized the way that we experience and see tap dance today.
Mm. I also understand that you have seen the production of Home, which is one that really kind of jumped out at me as being so interesting in concept and so potentially incredible as a visual experience.
It really is. I've been lucky to see all of the performances that we bring to this festival. Home is a very special performance. Home starts out with nothing on stage except for a stage light, and over the next 2 hours, one in the audience gets to experience everything that makes a home, from the two-story house that is created, but the people that come in and out of our lives as we make home together.
And talk for another few moments about the production so people can get a better understanding of what they'll experience if they decide to go to this segment of the festival.
Sure. So that first week, in addition to Durant's Dance, we have a piece coming to us from the UK, making their U.S. premiere, called No Kids. It's by Ad Infinium Theater. That will be in the Eisman Theater. Here in New Haven, No Kids is the story of it's the real life story of two men who are a married couple trying to decide whether or not to have children. It's a story that, gay or straight, I think we can all relate to. And what makes this piece a lot of fun is as they go through the difficulties of deciding about kids or not, every time they break into their stage presence, we hear mashed up Madonna songs. So like a virgin is changed to match the music of the performance, or Vogue is done to voguing whether or not you're having kids or not. From there, we have a company from Australia called Circa. Their piece, What Will Have Been, three acrobats, one live musician, a piece that really tests and shows us what the human body can do, but more importantly, how important relationships are to us as one. You've mentioned Quantum Sounds, mm-hmm. and Florian's going to tell you more about that. And then in the second part of the festival, we go back to the Schubert for the Kronos Quartet. Mm. Kronos Quartet will be celebrating the music of the 60s. Then we go over to College Street Music for Tanya Tagat. Tanya is an Inuit throat singer who will challenge all of us to experience music in a way that we never have before and will never be able to do so again in the future.
Great. Folks, if you're just joining us, we're talking about the International Festival of Arts and Ideas for 2019 for the entire duration of our program. We're going to be cutting in and out right now, talking with Chad Herzog, Executive Co-Director of the festival. We're now going to take a quick break and visit with Florian Carley, who's producer of Quantum Sound, and then come back and meet Denise Santisteban to talk about some of the other interesting aspects of this year's festival. So one of the really exciting pieces of the festival that I wanted to talk about is a ticketed event. It's called Quantum Sound, and it's a live performance of superconducting instruments. And I'm so excited to have Florian Carley here with us to talk a little bit more about it. Florian, first of all, tell me just briefly how you got involved in this. So were you attracted to it? Were they attracted to you? How did you come together with this program?
So I have a background in theater. I've done theater for 12 years, and I choose science as a career. So I'm trained as a mechanical engineer. So I always had this lack of art in my life, and so when I took control of the Yale Quantum Institute, I decided that we needed to create outreach program that give good quality content for the audience to talk about quantum physics, and creating an artist in residence program was the best way to do it. So we started in 2017 to attract artists. We started with Martha Lewis, who came and did a piece for the festival last year. And this year, again, the piece that Marta did was really well-received by the audience of the festival, that they asked us again to produce a piece for them.
So the most exciting thing for me reading about this ahead of time was it looks like people are going to go through the door, and then an hour and a half later, they're going to come out with a kind of a working understanding of quantum physics, because there's a little lesson that comes before the performance.
Indeed, yeah. Part of the program is it's going to be an artistic concert about sounds made by quantum computers. That is the prototypes we have at the labs we have at Yale. But we wanted to make sure that the audience understand what's happening, because I think it's more interesting when you relieve the curtain and see that what we're doing is actually produced by the superconductive instruments that we're using. Great. So we'll have a 10-minute crash course explaining the basis of quantum physics. But fear not, it's going to be nice. We have nice picture, nice diagram. It's not going to be too hard. Yeah. But I think it's important for people to understand what's happening and what they're going to hear. They will appreciate more the concert, and they will understand what's happening, because the different sounds that you will hear will be, in fact, the quantum computers calculating the different states of the quantum bits or qubits.
Excellent. Well, having been involved in patronizing and coming to the festival since its inception in the mid-90s, I think one of the questions we need to clarify is, because when I started, my son was tiny, and he kind of grew up into his teen years at the festival. Is this something that is appropriate as an entertainment and educational tool for young people, as well as teens, young adults, and adults?
So there's the content is available for everybody. I'm slightly worried about younger audiences. They might be a bit bored by the whole event. I think an appropriate age to start is probably people in their teen. Mm-hmm. I think like middle school students to high school might be the appropriate audience, because the concert will be itself like a 40-minute set of ambient noise and electronic music sounds. So if you're not into that, that might be a bit challenging for younger audiences. Yeah.
The other really cool thing is that this isn't happening in a theater or in an open outdoor space. It's happening in the confines of a very audio perfect kind of atmosphere, right?
Yes, we are hosted by Firehouse 12, which is a recording studio in New Haven. We picked this place because they have a long experience of recording, and also it's important for us to get outside of the lab. Yale can be seen as a very ivory tower that it's really hard to get into, and so it's important for us to go into the New Haven community and participate in that. Also, the Firehouse 12 has this very nice wooden ambience interior, and I think it's a very nice way to transport the audience into this confined element, because the superconducting devices that we have are lodged inside inside dilution fridges, which are kept at almost absolute zero. So you have this complex sort of Russian doll fridges where all the elements are really confined and blocked off the environment. So you cool down this to a few millikelvins, and there's no vibration. It's almost frozen. It's the coldest place you can find. So it's interesting to be in Firehouse 12, have this sort of experience of a cocoon, and that isolation might be also a fun way to experience the concert.
Is it going to be recorded as well as presented?
So the concert will be live. We'll be sending queries to the quantum computers that we have in the labs, and the audience will experience the concert live. We will record the performance and release an album afterwards.
So I guess to close it out, for folks that are now getting psyched up to take part in this, I guess seating is kind of limited, so folks should get their tickets as quickly as possible if this is a specific program they're interested in seeing and hearing and experiencing. But to close out, just tell me a little bit more about Spencer, Kyle, and Luke.
So Spencer Topel is an artist and a sound composer. He's a professor at Dartmouth College. And so I was very interested by his work that he did on the ice cello. This is how I got to know him. And he's using science to create sound and create composition that goes beyond what you can hear. Like it's interesting that he's using almost boring sound and very annoying sounds, and it turns them into this beautiful composition. So, for example, for the performance, he will turn white noise from a computer into this wonderful melody. And he's working in collaboration with Kyle Saniak and Luke Burkhardt, who are two graduate students working on quantum physics. So they will be running the experiment at the same time that the concert happens. So it's very interesting to have this collaboration between artists and physicists, because the concert itself will be truly what science sounds like. It's not going to be inspired by quantum. It's going to be actual quantum physics, which is pretty exciting.
And Kyle and Luke have no real musical... I mean, they're not musicians.
They're scientists from training, but I know that Kyle is a guitar player, he's doing some show, and Luke is an opera singer. So they have a bit of use of the stage, but yeah, that's not their training.
Great. Well, it was great to visit with you. Florian Carley is producer of Quantum Sound, the 40-minute musical set, one of the many ticketed events at this year's International Festival in Arts Ideas, is going to kick off with a 10-minute kind of crash course, as you heard, in quantum physics, giving the audience some key concepts to better understand the performance, and then a period of music, and then discussion with the artists. So just one of the many ticketed events we hope you'll consider attending. Florian, it was great to meet you, and thank you so much for coming down and chatting with us today.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
We're back at the headquarters of the International Festival of Arts and Ideas, looking out over the greater New Haven area and chatting with Festival Executive Co-Director Chad Herzog. And in just a few minutes, we'll talk with Denise Santisteban about a couple of specific elements of the festival. If you like exercise, you like to walk around and discover new things, or who doesn't like food, you're definitely going to want to stick around and hear from Denise. But for now, we talked a little bit about ticketed events, Chad, but now let's switch to free, free, free. Everybody likes free, and the headline concerts on the New Haven Green are a mainstay of the International Festival of Arts and Ideas, and boy, have you got a program this year.
And so much of the stuff that we do at this festival is free. As you mentioned earlier today, 80% of the programming is free, and the headlining concerts is probably one of those things that most people know about. And we can't wait to share what's happening on our headlining concerts this year on the Green, but also, as you'll hear from Denise and others, all of those other free programmings that we here at the festival do for all of you. One of the things that we are doing this year that's a little different is due to the success of New Haven Day on the Green last year, we've decided to make all of our weekends little micro festivals. So a micro festival within the festival. So we start off with New Haven Day on the Green, and then Sunday, June 9th, we go into what we're calling Garba 360. We'll be spending the day dancing on the Green on June 9th and end that day with everybody learning how to garba. Garba is a traditional Indian dance form that was taught and once danced only during Navaratri. It will be danced by thousands and all of you on the Green on June 9th at 7 p.m. That second Saturday on the Green on June 15th is our hip-hop and R&B party. This is also the day that we are going for the Guinness Book of World Records to try to be the largest all-white party on the Green. So come to the Green on June 15th, wear your white, and enjoy the music of Force MDs, Vivian Green, a number of different DJs, and so much more on the Green June 15th.
And it's a Sunday morning broadcast, so we want to just make sure anybody who just kind of snapped awake, you're wearing white, folks. Everybody is welcome.
Everybody's wearing white. Yeah, yeah. On June 16th is a day that we're calling Create and Meditate. So you'll start off on the Green at 9 a.m. Learning Tai Chi. Then we'll go into yoga classes. There are so many other things that we'll be doing to really find and center your body and free your mind with the performance that evening by Gina Chavez. And then the final Saturday of the festival is our Salute to Summer, where we welcome Tiempo Libre with the New Haven Symphony Orchestra as they wrap up their celebration of 125 years of making music in this festival or in this city, and their new music director, Alistair Neal, will be taking the stage for the first time. Something that we're probably most excited about, including all of these musicians, is the fact that we are once again back out on the Green for the full 3 weeks of the festival. The last couple of years, we've only been on the Green for half of the time. This year, we're back outside for the full 3 weeks and really excited to get people outside celebrating the summer with us.
Excellent. Well, I'm really excited. I could switch the microphone to my other hand now that I'm starting to get numb here. Let's meet our new friend, Denise Santisteban. Denise, scoot over here so we can hear everything you say clearly. One of the cool things about the International Festival of Arts and Ideas is how it helps to get people in and around Greater New Haven, and you're making that way more easy and way more diverse this year, I think, than maybe ever before, starting with a track called Treks, which is not only going to include walking tours that have been a mainstay of the festival since day one, but there's going to be exhibition talks and tours, bike tours, and boat tours. They're all free, and they really run the entire length of the festival. So clue us in on a few of the high points of this program.
Well, I think that's one of the funnest things about the walking tours is that you get to explore parts of New Haven that you would never see. We're going into a place called Lucky Climbers, Kids Architects. They make climbing structures for kids. They've been around for a good bunch of years, and they're located here in New Haven. Another place is you can get lost in New Haven with Robert Greenberg. He has an incredible collection of memorabilia from New Haven that explores all parts of New Haven. And I've been there. It's an amazing place to walk into. It takes you back and into New Haven's history, but it also marries the present of New Haven as well. We're also going on a walk, peeking into the closet with New Haven Pride Center. They take you to a bunch of different locations that have embraced the LGBTQ community. We are going to be going on to the Amistad for tours out there. We're going out to the Joseph and Annie Albers Foundation, which is a place that normally does not give tours, so we're very lucky that we're going there. We're going on an orchestra on the trail with our partners at the Yale China Association, and one of their fellows is taking you out on the streets, making music with found objects as you go. So I think that will be a lot of fun. And the Ely Center of Contemporary Art has two really great exhibits going on that we'll be going into to see as well.
Now, in terms of the bike tours, are these gauged with different tours for different skill levels, or are all bicyclists able to access all bike tours?
They do maybe a couple that are a little intermediate, but we work with Elm City Cycling, who have been our partners for a number of years doing these free bike tours. And they come up with some of the most creative things. You're going to go out to Hildinger Farms for the Strawberry Festival. You're going down the East Coast Greenway. You're going to do games people play. So they're going to do one where they go to different places, like escaping from different rooms.
Not the casino.
And they're also going to do a Bloomsday ride, which will take you on a more literary tour of the city. And I know they're going to be peeking into, like, the Institute Library and hearing from different storytellers. So that should be a lot of fun as well.
And you mentioned the Amistad, but that is part of a walking tour. Is there also, or is that the boat tour?
No, that's definitely a walking tour. Our boat tours are going out for an excursion to Outer Island with the Friends of Outer Island. And we do a kayak down the Kew River and canoeing on the Mill River. However, those are actually ticketed tours.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and those we partner with the New Haven Parks and Rec that help us out with that, and they bring all those out.
So if folks want to scope out any of the specifics on these or perhaps get tickets to the boat tour, artidea.org is the place to start for everything.
Yeah.
Hang around, Denise. We're going to talk to you a little bit more about food after the break, and we meet a couple of our other guests. Folks, stick around because we're going to be meeting a couple of guests who are part of the Ideas program here at the International Festival of Arts and Ideas. We're going to be talking with Jacqueline Raposo, who is the author of The Me Without, and we're going to be talking about her program, Without Habits, A Path to Purpose. And we're also going to get to meet Jonathan Holloway, who has been a festival director in Europe and Australia, and he's going to be talking about his program, Living for the City. But let's first give you a little bit of a primer on the Ideas program, back with Chad Herzog, executive co-director of the festival. Chad, it's kind of the second leg of the table for Arts and Ideas. Tell us a little bit more about the Ideas programming.
Well, the Ideas programming is something that makes this special. For any festival, when we are not just hearing the performances or watching the performances on our stages, but then being inspired by some of the greatest thinkers from around the world. The way that I've been told I describe Ideas programming over and over again is like TED Talks on steroids, because it's not a 17-minute discussion with somebody, but really an in-depth look at the work that they're doing and how they're inspiring all of us. You've mentioned that you'll be with Jonathan Holloway very soon. Jonathan is a friend and the artistic director of the Melbourne Festival. He'll be talking about how making festivals has changed cities for us. But we have all kinds of other Ideas programming coming to us. Some festival regulars coming back, like Khaki King, who was with us last year with her guitar. She'll be joined on stage with Spencer Topol, who Florian has explained the music of Spencer in Quantum Sounds, and J. Allen Zimmerman. And they're all doing a piece called called Data-Driven Sounds. Data-Driven Sounds is how they're using data to make music. And they'll be sharing their experiences with all of you. We have Ayn Gordon returning to the festival with HB. Ayn and HB will be talking about Stonewall After 50. This year does mark the 50 years after the Stonewall riots in New York. So they'll be here. We have Allison Roman, who is a noted cookbook author, but also writes for the New York Times and Bon Appetit. She'll be here sharing some of her favorite recipes. But more importantly, she'll be talking about what it's like not to jump the shark when being one of these social media stars and instead staying true to yourself. And then we have Tanya Tagat, who will be on stage. Tanya is a musician who will be singing for us on Thursday, June 20th. But on June 19th, she'll be reading from her best-selling book, and it's a Canadian bestseller book called Split Tooth. So you'll get to hear more about Tanya and learn more from her.
Once again, artidea.org is the place to go to peruse the entire list of all the exciting things happening. We're going to give Chad a break and meet a couple of our guests and come back and continue our conversation about the Ideas program. So stick with us.
Do you love Connecticut? If you do, there are hundreds of nonprofit agencies, community groups, and grassroots organizations that would love to have your support. You can learn about many of them through Love CT. Just go to our radio station website, hit the event guide tab, and click on to Love CT to help the many causes supported by Connoisseur Media. This is Connoisseur Media's Director of Public Affairs, John Boquette. Let's head back and pick up where we left off, chatting about this year's International Festival of Arts and Ideas. So we've picked up with Jacqueline Raposo, who we've heard a little bit about from Chad. She's the author of Me Without, and her program coming up on June 20th at 5:30 is called Without Habits, A Path to Purpose. And she's going to talk about how reframing habits can lead to healing, happiness, and a purposeful personal path. So with that P alliteration fresh in our minds, let's talk with Jacqueline. Jacqueline, thanks for joining us on the line.
Thank
here.
You so much for having me. Hi.
So a quick little backstory on you and how you have come to be the person who is through which many of us will hope to pass on to better habits.
Well, I like to say I'm sort of an amplifier of other people's wisdom and knowledge and education. I'm a journalist. I write primarily in food and lifestyle and health. And I just did this project for myself a couple of years ago where I was not happy with my life circumstances. And I had tried so many other self-help and personal growth studies, both just from intellectual curiosity. And then just, you know, we all have our things we want to improve upon in our lives. And then I just got to a point where I decided to try something for myself, which was sort of the reverse of what these books or TED Talks or articles I had read had led me to do. And that ended up being just taking out things from my life, taking out habits. And then because I'm a journalist, I sort of just dug into studies about why things in my life were changing or not changing and talking to other people about such things, neurologists, psychologists, designers, people in the arts and the sciences, just across the gamut. Mm. And so that's sort of what I pulled together in both my book and in this talk, the personal, the really hard real-life scenario of trying to change yourself, trying to change your patterns, trying to change your goals, and getting into the deep real-world scenarios of these bigger concepts, but then also pulling in what is actually happening in our minds and bodies in a slightly more technical sense than we might be aware of, because to me those sort of help knowing what is actually happening in my body actually helps me feel more confident and calm in sort of moving forward with the practical part.
So looking across the landscape of people who you talk to in the ramping up to this packaging of this program, what was one of, if not the most kind of universal thing that people were able to change in terms of their habit, and how did they do it?
Well, I wasn't talking to people so much about how they changed their habits, as much as asking about how all of the different habits that I was studying, so social media, sugar, online shopping, things like that, I was looking for the sort of the connection between them. And so what I noticed from the people I was speaking with, whether it was a tech designer or an interior designer or a Pilates teacher talking about movement and confidence in the body when I was taking out negative thought, which is a very sort of obscure habit versus taking out online shopping, which is where the interior designer came in, versus social media. The through line in regard to these habits was that we are putting out so much energy in these different areas and not realizing it. They all talked about wasted energy. Talking to an advocate for reducing waste when I studied zero waste, she was talking about all this excess stuff that we have is wasted energy, moving stuff around, cleaning, even recycling, you know, buying things and then having to recycle the package, that's wasting energy. If we're not taking care of our bodies and moving them through the world, our bodies are burning excess calories, actual energy. We are burning energy. If we are exhausted from constantly feeling like we're keeping up on social media or in, you know, flowing media into our body so fast that we can't keep up, we are exhausted. We don't have enough energy. And these were the things that they were all saying to me in varying, completely independent spheres.
Yeah. So,
and I was like, oh, it makes sense why we are all exhausted if we don't even realize that we are burning energy that we don't have in all of these different avenues.
So for your spot in the Arts and Ideas program, this Without Habits, A Path to Purpose, coming up on June 20th at 5:30, who is your ideal audience member? What would they be needing or seeking?
I think the ideal audience member, first of all, is someone who is already searching in a way. They just know that something is off or missing, and they might not necessarily even know what it is. And I know that is a very general, very large sort of circle of people, but that's intentional in a way. Mm. You know, I start saying, well, I was this at the top of my journey. I was, you know, 34, sick, single, and broke. And those are sort of extreme scenarios.
Yeah,
but I think so many of us have points in our lives where our health isn't great. Our relationships aren't strong. Our finances are bad. We don't need to be at a certain age or a point in our lives to not have the things that we want, or to not know why we don't have the things that we want, to not know why we're not at the place we thought we would be at, and to not know how to even get on the path to something or to be happy on the path that we're on right now. So for anyone just curious about how could I shift something that's already here in my life without the extraneous work of, okay, I'm going to cultivate new, better habits. This is not about bringing new habits into your life right now. It's not about doing more. It's not about putting on the extra pressure of to-do lists and diet plans and going somewhere every single day for 45 minutes or an hour. It's about just taking a step back and taking a little load off of yourself and making space to figure out these bigger questions that we don't give ourselves time to ask.
Excellent. Without Habits, A Path to Purpose is one of the many Ideas Track programs for this year's Festival of Arts and Ideas. The presenter and host of that workshop is with us now, Jacqueline Raposo. She's author of Me Without, and as you heard, she's going to be sharing how reframing habits can lead to healing, happiness, and a purposeful personal path. Jacqueline, it was great to talk to you. Best of luck at the festival, and perhaps we'll bump into you there. Thanks for being part of the program. Now we pick up with our other guest who is part of the Ideas program, and he's bringing a very important and unique insight to the International Festival of Arts and Ideas. As a festival director himself in Europe and Australia, Jonathan Holloway has repeatedly reinvented ways in which festivals explore, reclaim, and celebrate their city for all those who use it, from the traditional custodians of the land to the latest arrivals and all the people in between. So, Jonathan, welcome. We're calling into him today while he is in Spain, but he will be here in New Haven in just a few weeks. His presentation is on June 8th at 3:30 p.m., part of the Ideas Track, and his presentation is called Living for the City. So, Jonathan, let's get right into it. You have a wealth of international experience. Tell us a little bit about your thoughts of the International Festival of Arts and Ideas here in New Haven and why this is not just a great thing for artists and the city of New Haven, and even it's important beyond the state of Connecticut and extends to the entire geographical region.
Hi, John. Thanks for the invitation. Yes, absolutely. I've known about New Haven Festival from the very beginning. I have friends who worked there, and it's interesting because I think festivals do a unique thing in a town or a city or a region, which is the job of a festival is to reinterpret the place and to really listen to the people and find out where it's coming from and then take everyone on a journey using the city as the basis for that journey. And what's been interesting in the US, I think, is there are only really two major festivals. So Spoleto Festival in Charleston and New Haven Festival of Arts and Ideas. In Australia, the actual ecology of the arts is built around seven major festivals, one in each of the states of Australia. And so it's just a different way of delivering the arts. But it starts with the city and the people rather than starting with, for example, an educational institution first. It starts out of the conversations that are going on. So the job of the curator or festival director or festival is to listen more than it talks and then respond to what it feels is needed. And so it moves from being the whim and placing of an individual to being almost the way that a general practitioner, a doctor or a shaman or whoever would listen to the person in front of them and say, right, what's needed? What would help? What would be exciting and thrilling, but also make everything just a bit better?
So that being said, what would you like to present as part of your talk on the ideas track here when you come to New Haven?
Well, I come from a theatre directing background. So for the first 14 years of my life, I directed theatre, including at the National Theatre in London. So I come from a world in which I made work to be on stages originally, and then just got wooed by this idea of the city as the stage, the city as the palette, the entire conurbation or urban area is the place you can play. And so what I want to talk about is different approaches I've taken in places like the east of England, which is a relatively rural and at the time it felt like very far away from everywhere because it was 3 hours from London. I then traveled to Perth in Australia, which is the most remote city on earth, and it takes 5 hours to fly to the next city. So I realized my sense of distance was changed totally. And in each place, in Norwich, in London, in Perth, and in Melbourne now, I've had to approach it differently. So I want to talk about some of the things I've done and why they worked where they worked, but also what we can take from them about ways the arts can be utterly thrilling. I mean, the arts can have the physical and grandiose scale of Game of Thrones, possibly with the exception of a ending, which no one knows what that is. Well, they do, actually, but we shouldn't talk about that. But that idea that they can have that level of impact, certainly as the first few series did, and then take people on a journey that is utterly surprising.
Excellent. Well, it's going to be wonderful to have you in New Haven and to not only have you in this unique festival atmosphere, one of these two festivals in the entire United States that's happening annually, but to hear the juxtaposition of what you've already done and what you've already seen and maybe put that together and get some better ideas about how to make the 2020 International Festival of Arts and Ideas even better. You know, as you know, Chad is departing, so maybe you need to be kind of looking over your shoulder in case they want to, like, kind of throw a black bag over your head and keep you for ourselves for next year. But in the meantime, we will wish you well in your travels. Jonathan Holloway presenting Living for the City as part of the Ideas Track of the International Festival in Arts and Ideas, June 8th at 3:30 p.m. Great to chat with you, Jonathan, and we'll see you here in New Haven.
Fantastic learning about a couple of the ideas programs from the folks themselves who will be presenting them. We're going to wrap up on the ideas track for the Arts and Ideas Festival in 2019. Just giving a quick plug to a program that's going to go for about 10 days, and that is the 6th annual New Haven Documentary Film Festival.
Right. And these are our friends at NH Docs that have been doing this, as you said, for 6 years. And this year, I can honestly say, has to be the best year of NH Docs. The films that they're showing and sharing with all of us for free, really incredible. NH Docs starts on Thursday, May 30th at 7 p.m. and runs through the first weekend of the International Festival of Arts and Ideas on June 9th is when it concludes. Let's talk maybe about the big films that everybody's waiting for. The first is the pizza film that Pizza, A Love Story, Gorman Betchard's film that I can say New Haven has been salivating about over and over again as Gorman breaks down Pepe, Sally's, and Modern for us.
A vicious, vicious pizza fan. And quick secret, the gentleman who got me into broadcasting in 1976. So Gorman Bouchard, can't wait for the pizza talk.
Yes, Gorman is ready for that, which is really great. And then that following weekend, the last weekend of NH Docs, the first weekend of the Festival of Arts and Ideas, is when Michael Moore comes to town. Michael Moore will start off with interviewing Peter Davis, and Michael Moore then will be in town for the screening of Fahrenheit 9/11. Then Peter Davis will interview Michael Moore, which will be fun. Moore will then show Roger and Me, Bowling for Columbine, Capitalism, A Love Story. He'll do a late night talk on Sicko. And then conclude the final day of the NH Docs with Where to Invade Next in Fahrenheit 11/9.
Excellent. More on the docs, they can go to nhdocs.org for high details. And is this a ticketed series?
So it can be. If you wish to plan early and want to guarantee yourself a seat, you can go to nhdocs.org and buy your NH Docs Fast Pass, and that guarantees you your seat at all the films. Otherwise, you can just show up and wait in line with the rest of us.
Very good. Excellent. Let's switch over and chat again with Denise Santisteban on the food track of the festival. Really exciting. New Haven is a foodie city with delectable foods and drinks to experience, and I dare say this program will give folks more than they could possibly handle. I know another famous radio says, guest host says, never eat more than you can carry. So that's certainly what you guys have in line, right, Denise?
Yes, we do. We have all kinds of great places to go. We start off on the 8th of June with the history of the cocktail. And then we then meander down State Street for a wine walk to three fantastic places, Oak Haven, Cavan, and August. We have a great barbecue and beer pairing out at the Stack, which is a new barbecue place here in New Haven. And then the always popular Grand Avenue Gastronomy Tour. And then we go into the Feast of the Future at the Ely Center. As I mentioned before, they are having an environmental show at that time, and global chef Nadine Nelson has come up with a meal inspired by their work in land, sea, and air, so it's a very different kind of meal. Mm. And then we celebrate World Refugee Day on the green with a food bazaar from Sanctuary Kitchen and City Seed. And then it's all culminated with the on Friday night, the 21st, with the beer garden, where you have tastings from over 8 breweries, hard cider, and ripe organic juice mixers. Hmm.
One of the ones that kind of popped out to me was that Feast of the Future, which is pretty cool. Give folks an idea of maybe some of the sustainable food sources that they can count on enjoying well into their golden year and beyond.
Yes. Well, they're going to Nadine is coming up with an incredible menu of different things, all the way from things that we might not think about, things that come up from the earth and from the ocean. So it's going to be a very different...
Worms and stuff.
maybe not worms, maybe some seaweed. But it's going to be very different because it's going to be set up in stations that people can go to, and, you know, there'll be different things that they can add and make some of their own with some interactive elements as well.
Excellent. Very good. Artidea.org is the place to go for everything International Festival of Arts and Ideas 2019. As you're hearing, the festival takes place in venues and open spaces in downtown New Haven in the heart of the Northeast Quarter here. If you're listening over on Long Island, you're listening online anywhere, or are down in the greater New York area, a quick ride or train up And you're here. The programs are being presented throughout the festival, and we're going to wrap up talking about the main venue, as Chad Herzog, Executive Co-Director, mentioned early on in our visit today here at the Arts and Ideas offices. That is the main stage, the New Haven Green.
Well, we talk all the time about the city of New Haven truly being our stage of the festival. You've been to our offices now. You can see and look over the city of New Haven, and it's the city that makes this festival so great. And the fact that we don't have our own theater, but instead the city is our theater, makes it even better. Outside for those full 2 weeks, the 3 weekends of the festival, we bring back the favorites like Box City, and we have events called Canning for Hunger. But then we also have the Alaskan Fiddling Poet. We have the Flying Hawaiian. We have Lucy LaDuca, the drag queen storyteller. There's so much more, from Gospel Fest to spinning on the green with a DJ showcase. We've mentioned movement and mindfulness to the Elm Shakespeare Company and their teen troupe. There's all kinds of things coming to the green for you.
And this isn't just like go to a spot on the green, stand there, watch something, and then it's over, and then you go find something else to do. One of the incredible things that I always found about visiting the green anytime during the festival is that every time you turn around, there's a juggler or an origami maker or some sort of creative thing that's happening. You almost can't go 10 or 15 feet without running into somebody else who's doing something really awesome.
That's right. From noon to night, we are on the green all day long with multiple stages happening, from those music acts on the main stage to dance happening other places to the juggling and origami, whatever you can imagine. Chances are you'll see it on the green during the Festival of Arts and Ideas.
And talk about guilty by association. Even the many hundreds and hundreds of restaurants and other sights and sounds and things to do in New Haven are all sort of brought into the mix. So if people do come for the festival at any point, and hopefully it'll be multiple days, or even come to stay, because there's plenty of hotels that would welcome you in the greater Southern Connecticut area, so you could get to the festival really quickly over a multi-day visit. It is an incredible economic engine, not just for New Haven, not just for the state of Connecticut even, but really for the entire northeastern United States.
It really is. Anytime you welcome 100,000 people to one area over the course of 2.5-3 weeks, it's going to bring money in. And that's something that the festival is very proud of. The partnerships we have with our local businesses, businesses like yours here that you're listening to today, to the restaurants downtown, the storefronts, those that drive our artists around the city, like High's Limo Service to the hotels in which our artists stay in and our guests stay in. We're very lucky to have all of you supporting the festival, because this festival wouldn't be around without the support of the listeners out there and our concert and audience goers.
Excellent. Well, I want to thank Denise Santisteban for chatting with us today, and hopefully we'll be visiting again with you in the years to come. Denise, sadly, Chad, if we're visiting with you in years to come, it will be in some other capacity out west. This is Chad's last festival as executive co-director here in New Haven. Sorry to see you go, but thank you for all the incredible work that you've done over the years, Chad, and best of luck in your future endeavors.
Yeah, thanks. It's been a true honor, and you'll be seeing me next year. I'm going to come celebrate with this festival in June of 2020 as we celebrate the 25th festival.
You've been listening to our award-winning public affairs program for the people. The opinions expressed on this broadcast represent those of our guests and host. If you have a suggestion for an issue, a guest, or a PSA relevant to the audience and community served by our radio station, you must make a request for consideration in writing to me via email at john.voquette@connoisseurct.com. We do not accept pitches or requests for coverage by phone. Remember, no part of this program may be copied, disseminated, or rebroadcast. Our public file detailing the many critical community and state issues addressed on For the People can be reviewed upon request during normal business hours at 440 Wheeler's Farms Road in Milford or on our station website. Our theme music is by Rick Miller and Scott's, with original music by Noel Viette. I'm Director of Public Affairs, John Voquette. Join us again this time next week for more conversation and information on the award-winning For the People. And don't forget, you can listen to this and other For the People podcasts anytime on iTunes or under the podcast tab on our station's website. Until this time next week, thanks for listening.